Hey, what's going on? This is Ben Lionetti from Lakeshore, and you're listening to House of Noise.
Well, welcome to
the House of Noise.
Well, I'm just going to let you do it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. This is House of Noise. It's Jenna.
Jim.
And today we're going to share with you our interview with Ben from the band Lakeshore. They just released a current single, Mountain View. He is the guitarist.
It was a lot of fun talking to Ben.
Yeah, he was super cool.
Just, it was funny. Just he says at one point, you know, don't mind my rants. We're like, dude, we fucking live for the rants.
Hell yeah.
We love them.
We love it because this isn't about us. I mean, you know, we don't make it a conversation about us. It's a conversation. We want to interact. One-on-one human interaction now, especially with the pandemic and people kind of being isolated and shit.
I would say to sum up this interview, though, is we talked about music.
Yes,
we talked about him. We talked about Lakeshore, but we just talked about music in general. So
we did.
If you are just a plain old music fan,
baby,
then you're gonna love this interview.
You will.
We had a lot of fun.
Just cool ass mofo, and
he's been around the block.
He has done
some things and met some people.
Yeah, just a very real conversation about everything. So, but I'm not gonna say any more about it because, dang it, I don't like ruining the surprise for people. So
enjoy this episode with Ben,
and we'll be back with more next time.
More music. You're going in the radio mode.
I am, but we're gonna have more podcasts coming out. So yeah.
Yes, we are constantly trying to get more interviews and get more content up. So
yeah,
click the follow button and just, you know, listen to our show.
Stay safe, motherfuckers, but listen to our show. I love y'all.
All right, enjoy.
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
what's going
Jenna
on?
And Jim.
What's going on?
Not much. How are things in the studio? How'd everything go?
Came out really good. We ended up doing this, it's one of our first songs that we wrote back in the day. Like it's actually our first single that we ever released, and it's a song called History. But we ended redoing it with we're really big into all kinds of music, Disney, classical, fucking rap. It doesn't matter.
Right.
We're into everything. So we ended up doing this whole orchestral version of it. We're kind of nuts like that, you know. So we scored the whole thing, and then
shit.
Yeah,
that is
it. Came
badass.
Out really good. I just sent it to Shauna. She said she loved it. So
very cool.
She wants to do a press release for it. But I was just going nuts for the past couple of days, and I was just finishing up a little. We just took all the old tour footage and, you know, that we recorded on our phones, and I just edited a bunch of stuff together.
Yeah.
So that's what I was doing. I just fucking totally lost track of time.
Yeah, we understand that. We totally. Yeah. Totally. I've done video editing, and Jim is the producer for the show, and he edits all the audio. So I know how you can get lost and, you know, and time just really just slips away from you. And it's like, you know, when you look at the clock, you're like, holy shit, have I been doing it for that long?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I looked at the clock and it was 3:50. I was like, oh shit, I better get myself ready.
But anyway, welcome to House of Noise.
Yes, welcome.
We're excited to have you on. We're really loving Lakeshore and everything you guys are doing.
Well, thanks.
Enjoying all the little videos on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we're going nuts in quarantine.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, I know. We all are.
But you were talking about mixing your own stuff. I mean, it helps that you have your own studio because you have the Loud Lion Productions, right?
Yeah, yeah, it definitely does help. I really lucked out with that, and I wasn't like always, dude. It took a lot of work. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing when I first started. I still don't, but I think I know just enough to like demo some stuff out. And when it comes to like some stuff, like we did this cover song that I tracked myself and produced and mixed and all that stuff, mastered. I think it came out pretty good. But.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say the Boys to Men. Bye bye bye. I was like,
oh no, NSYNC.
Yeah. Come on, it's NSYNC.
How do you not know that?
You were singing along. How do you not know?
I was.
I'm calling her out. She was singing along.
I know. He's like, how do you know this? I'm like, look, I may not be an NSYNC fan, but I remember the song, man. I remember when they were a thing, when the boy band, all the way back to New Kids on the Block.
Well, he definitely has a career in pop if this whole Lakeshore thing doesn't work out.
Oh yeah, no, our singer Jesse, he's like, dude, he's fucking nuts. I mean, he switches from you know, doing the fucking Disney stuff to the pop stuff to he produces a lot of rap, metal, I mean, deathcore. It's never ending.
Yeah,
with
he's
him.
Got a great voice though. I mean,
he's stupid. I mean, he is absolutely insane, but he's beyond fucking talented though.
Well, that one video you guys had on Facebook, was that like a cue from the 10 second song guy?
You know, Anthony, that guy, yes. I've actually known him since back in the day when like my first band Emir started, and he actually hit me up. He was like, oh yeah, blah, 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 whatever. So I've known of Anthony. I didn't realize how big he was until recently though. Okay. And then when it came to like, we're just sitting home and like when we're in the studio, like we go nuts and like, we'll be tracking like a cover or whatever. We'll be demoing out a new song. And then Jesse will just like break out and like singing opera or fucking like he's nuts. So we were just like, why don't we just take our last single and literally do everything that we do? Like, let's just get it out so we never have to do it again. But it'll probably happen again.
I've been telling Jenna here that I want to interview him. It's like really bad. Because he seems like he'd be so much fun to interview.
The 10 second.
Anthony.
Who? Yeah, Anthony.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's a cool dude, yeah.
Yeah. So was 41, was that your first?
41 was our first EP. Okay. Yeah.
And then you guys did Secret Weapons.
Yep, Secret Weapons. Okay. And then we went in the studio with this guy, Sahasha Khan. He did Motley Crue, Star Set, did a bunch of pretty cool bands.
Yeah.
So we brought a bunch of demos to him and we sifted through them, picked a couple songs that we liked, and then he kind of tore them down, took parts that he liked, and we rewrote a bunch of stuff in the studio, wrote vocals right on the spot. And yeah, so that's our most recent stuff. So Mountain View, and then we got this other single coming out.
Nice.
At some point, I don't know. It's all like has to do with the radio and all that shit. So I don't really know the timing of it, but all I know is that Mountain View is still kind of doing its thing.
Oh yeah. It's a great track, and the video is it's, you know, it's a great song, and I really like the message in the video.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's so visually stunning, especially toward the end when the black stuff, the black goo comes out of her mouth.
Yeah.
And to me, that really is significant because I think that deals with a lot of the negativity, whether it's self-imposed by the world or whether it's imposed by, you know, what we think of ourselves.
Yeah.
Kind of like escaping.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that you have that, like, thought process with it, because you know I'm kind of like the idea guy, and it's been so hard with certain things, and it's probably due to my craziness, but it's been so, like, even though I feel like, you know, there's such like a deep message within myself and the band and our band members and what we write, and it's just like there's a story within the story, you know, and I'm just thankful that finally, you know, with what we're doing, it's like everything seems to be clicking and people seem to be, you know, understanding it, rather than back in the day, you know, it was the same thing. Like, we had the story to tell and we had this message, but for some reason, like, just, you know, we were a little bit off in our focus for some reason. But now, yeah, now it seems to really be hitting on all cylinders between the songs, the production, the videos. So I'm happy.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say that you're growing as an artist. How's that?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely, you know, I've been doing this for a really long time. Well, I'd say really long time, but it's been about like 10 or so years.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in a really successful metal band, you know, touring the world, buses, mm-hmm. playing, you know, arenas and this and that, big festivals. And it just got like, one story I tell is like, we went through New York one year. And there was nobody there. And then we got signed to Victory Records. We put out an EP, or no, we put out a full album. And then, I mean, things just clicked. And to the next year we went through and we were selling out, like we sold out Gramercy Theaters.
Wow.
Doug played there 2 weeks before prior. And, you know, it just got really big, really quick. And I think just being so young, we just didn't really know how to handle some of that. So we ended up leaving and I went through a big fucking drug addiction and not wanting to do music. And, you know, I'm glad that I was kind of forced by my brother back into, you know, doing something with my life, because now I'm clean, I'm sober, I've got something to live for. And I mean, I'm absolutely relentless on a day-to-day basis, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
So what kind of steps do you take to stay clean and sober? Yeah. I mean, do you just keep yourself out of, you know, certain situations? Yeah. Do you go to meetings?
Yeah, I tried the meeting thing, and I tried all this stuff to when I was first getting sober. And what I realized is like, I'm a thick-headed dude and I'm fucking stubborn. And, you know, it's like my will, you know, over everything. So, you know, it's kind of like when you're, I attribute it to my sign. I'm like, kind of like I'm a Capricorn. So it's like, you know, I want to be successful. I feel like I'm the leader. And, you know, after going in there and seeing, you know, how people really can't handle it, and I'm like, this just isn't for me. And I just put my foot down. I drew the line in the sand with myself, you know?
Yeah.
And I dove really big. I'm really big into meditation, hypnosis, and, you know, I take time for myself. But, you know, when it comes to this band, like, I finally have that fire again where I know that they're hardworking people, but I would put myself up there with them, you know, without a doubt. I mean, I'm up at the break of dawn and I don't go to sleep until 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's even when I'm fucked up and tired, you know, I'm still trying to make something happen, come up with ideas, you know, power through mixes or whatever. And I'm just on a one way path to making this thing happen, you know, and I won't rest until it is.
I mean, you got to do what works best for you. I mean, you know, the meditation, that is a form of therapy. It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you're also throwing yourself into your work too, which isn't always a bad thing, but it, you know, it obviously can be. And I know you're probably watching that and not overworking yourself.
It is. it is. Oh no, my girlfriend hates it. Like, but I'm just like, listen, I just have this, like, it feels like it's higher than me now. It's like a calling. It's like, it doesn't matter. You know, I have to do this.
Yeah. It's, I was going to say, you know, it's all about self-care too, because self-care is so, so important, especially if you have, you know, an addictive personality, if you've struggled with addiction, no matter what kind, whether it's drugs, alcohol, food, money, that kind of thing, sex.
Yeah.
We actually had the pleasure of, interviewing Michael Alago.
And, we know Michael.
Yeah. And
he's a great guy.
Great guy. I mean, and he, you know.
I mean, you want to talk about drug and alcohol addiction. That man, he partied, you know, like a rock star.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, and he really had to change his life around. And you got to take care of yourself. You can't, can't expect, you know, to be able to put out a good product if you're not taking care of yourself first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it is really cool, though, that you and your brother are in the band together and, you know, that you guys do have each other. Is there ever any point at which you got a little bit of like competition, you know, healthy, friendly brother competition going on?
There is daily, unhealthy. Fight. I mean, dude, like, I understand Oasis now. Like, sometimes I can't. I wouldn't trade it, but it's like, it's weird because like I'm all about like meditation and I live in this like spirit realm and I'm all about like good energy and vibes and manifestation.
Yes.
And Joe is the complete opposite where he's like, you know, even though I work hard day to day, Joe's like earthbound, you know, where he has this focus of, you know, he wants things done a certain way or whatever. And I'm just like, dude, it's all good if you believe in it. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, you know? And it's just like, we butt heads. I mean, constantly, every fucking day.
Has it been like
about everything?
Has it been like that your guys' whole lives?
Yeah. I mean, do you have any siblings?
He's got a brother and I've got two other siblings and I'm the oldest out of three. So
I'm the oldest as well.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's like, we're both men and we are very close in age as well.
Same with me and my brother.
And then coming from just like two different points, you know, like he never really went through addiction and I did. You know, he never really got into the like this whole energy thing and I'm all about it. And he's just like, well, hard work works. And I'm like, yeah, but manifestation does too. If you just, you know.
Yeah.
So. You're talking about like willing it so.
Kind of like what you put out into the universe is what you get back.
I'm very witchy and I got crystals and I'm crazy like that, but you know, it works. I mean, it keeps me at least
grounded
like
and,
somewhat mentally healthy. I mean, even if you think it's like, you know, a little a bit out there or whatever, but it's still like, you know, keeps me from, you know, because I still want to fucking go dive into a plate of Coke and a fucking bottle of Jack Daniels. But then I'm like, I don't want to feel like that tomorrow morning. So I'm just going to go to my room.
I know that feeling all too well. Yeah. I've been having that feeling lately, just being in isolation here.
Yeah. How are you guys faring with the pandemic and stuff? Because you guys are on the East Coast. You're out in Connecticut, right?
I mean, it's been a little crazy. Luckily, like we live out pretty much in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, nice.
I mean, some parts are bad, but up where we live, it's not like too crazy. It is obviously everywhere is crazy, but it's not like, you know, I'm not too worried about, you know, it's not like we live in a big city, but yeah, I mean, we've just been locking ourselves in the studio and every day we try to accomplish something. So we got a ton of new songs. I mean, obviously, we've been posting a bunch of stuff that we've been doing. Yeah. We did that Disney thing, that Sync thing. We did a Sorry cover. And now
I saw
we
that.
Just did this this other thing for History. We actually did two covers that I don't really want to speak on right now about it, but I'm really stoked with the covers that we did, and I think they'll be fun when we do actually like get around to putting them out and stuff. One actually drops 24th, so we're not even too far. I'm losing track of time here.
Well, this will be a couple of days before I get this all edited up and put on the podcast. Yeah.
Are you guys putting that out on Facebook, on your page on Facebook?
Yeah, actually, it'll be everywhere. I mean, I think like Sean is doing a press release for it. We got the radio dude that we've been working with for Mountain View going after a bunch of stuff for us. It's cool. I mean, I think the cover came out really good. I'll send it to you once I'm done. It's actually Puddle of Mud song.
Oh, nice.
Their first single called Blurry.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, everybody loves that song. And we were just sitting here. I actually hung out with Wes a bunch of times during my most crazy time in my life and probably his crazy time when he was all over TMZ and stuff. I was hanging out with him. Yeah, I was hanging out with him at his house, getting into nonsense. And I don't really like talk too much about my time there, but then what happened with that, the guys were like, why don't we do this song? Everybody fucking loves it. And Wes is a little crazy, but the song is still rad.
Yeah.
And we just sat down for a couple of days, put it together. And I think it came out really cool. You know,
cool. I'm excited.
So how heartbreaking was it for you to watch that Nirvana cover he did?
Oh my God.
Especially considering I saw videos of him doing it in the past, like on stage, and it sounded good. It was just...
I mean, I know what I did with him, you know, and I hope that he's clean, but that whole video just screams not clean.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But I could be wrong, and I hope I am wrong.
Yeah, me too.
You know, because he is a good dude.
Yeah, he's just had he's struggled so much, and you know, it really breaks my heart when any artist has to struggle. I mean, it just seems like...
Well, we were talking about Michael earlier. That was one of the things that he said was, you know, if you need help, just ask for help.
Well, but I think part of the music business is, I think very few musicians come away from it unscathed in some shape or fashion, whether it happens to you or it happens to a band member or whatever.
Somebody that you know. Yeah. You know a lot of people in the business. Yeah, so.
Absolutely. I think even more than the addiction part, I think just like if you are, everybody has a band, mm-hmm. but I'm saying like, if you're a dude who knows you're meant to make music and you have to be in a band and you're just one of those who had mild success, or you're good enough to actually have a lot of success and you know it, mm-hmm. then the mental aspect of it is almost just as bad as addiction side of it.
Agreed.
You know, not only the mental side, the state that you have to be in to actually put yourself through months, years, whatever, of that grueling, you know, I'm going to make it. I have to work. I have to do this. I have to do this. Not only that, but you affect, and what I'm starting to realize is you affect the people around you too. Mm-hmm. Like my girlfriend, like, again, she's like, you know, all you guys are crazy. Yeah. But when like I'm the leader of the band and not, you know, I put a lot on my shoulders, but you know, it tends to lead to, you know, not the healthiest state of mind. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're dealing with other people's emotions, like when she comes to me with problems and she's like, you know, I just want to talk, you know, whatever. I almost am so disconnected from emotion at this point because it's just like, I have one dot of focus, and that is success and a record deal and this fame and fortune that we all want. Mm-hmm. And nothing else matters. You know, coronavirus doesn't matter. Love doesn't matter. Nothing matters except that dot. And it's so hard once you're focused on it and you know you can make it to actually take your focus off of it and be like, okay, I could be a real person for, you know, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what I struggle with, you know, is just that interpersonal relationships.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, having that laser focus or that tunnel vision, you know, it makes for a great business model because, you know, you're so dedicated and focused on your goal. But when it comes, like you said, when it comes to everything else, you know, everything falls to the wayside. And unfortunately, a lot of people get hurt in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm just hoping that like once it does happen, which I know that it will.
Yeah.
It's just, I hope that I'm able to be like, okay, now, you know, now I'm in some sort of position where I can work on these other aspects of life. But I also fear like, you know, once I get there, how much more do I need to work? Because I know once you get that record deal, you even need to work harder to stay successful once you have it, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be a never ending struggle. I know, but that's why I'm here. So it's whatever, you know, I'm built for this. So it's like, I know that I can handle it. Yeah. It's just, you know, sometimes it does suck.
That's a little bit of a good segue and a question that Jenna had brought up. Well, you know that your dad was a musician, but we didn't know like the level of his success or what he did in the music business.
Yeah. Well, me and Joe's dad, he was a drummer and he's been in bands since I've been alive, obviously. So I've been going to clubs, you know, seeing them play forever, you know, and when we would have like 4th of July parties, it's just all musicians getting up jamming. He had mild success. I mean, it was back in the 70s and 80s. You know, they had a nice big mansion that they all split, and you know, they played with some bigger bands like Deep Purple, Twisted Sister, stuff like that.
Nice.
More than that, I mean, Jesse's dad, our singer, he was in a band called the Blues Magoos, who is mentioned at Rolling Stone, and Pink Floyd mentions them as one of their biggest influences.
Oh, yep.
And this is a dude who, like, when you go over his house, it's nothing crazy, but the pictures on the wall, you know, it's Steven Tyler holding Jesse or Paul Stanley from Kiss, you know, it's just like, you know, he wrote with Michael Bolton, Diana Ross, fucking, it's insane the amount of people that, and I'm talking legendary people. I mean, some of the people that we're in contact now with are Jesse's dad's managers. And when I say Jesse's dad's managers, that's like AC/DC, the Scorpions, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Aerosmith, you know, but it's been tough for us because there's somewhat of a disconnect because we're so new and they're like semi-retired, and it's not like, you know, Epitaph Records. It's like Columbia, RCA. You know, it's the biggest of the big, most iconic historical rock bands that these people have been involved with. And, you know, now we're in the talks with them to see kind of like what avenues they have currently to help us out, which is, you know, it sounds great, but it's not the easiest to connect the dots with such a big generation gap, you know. Think it'd be easier, but it's definitely cool, you know.
That was definitely one of my questions was, you know, I noticed that you guys are unsigned, and I didn't know if that was a conscious decision or you were just waiting, or if you had gotten offers but they weren't right for you.
We always have people approach us, but you know, I'm very selective with who I work with. That's why I pretty much only work with Shauna right now. Like I love that lady.
We do too. Awesome. We love Shauna.
It's been, I mean, surprisingly enough, like we haven't had any like real like major offers where we're like, okay, you know, this is something we want to explore, you know, because I think also the band is really new and we're just starting to gain some traction. But at the same time, I'm almost happy because there's, you know, there's, I need to build, or I feel like I want to build my worth a little bit more. You know, there's so much talent in the band that hasn't been shown yet. But now I think, you know, we're finally starting to hit our stride between the music that we're writing, the covers, you know, even this thing that we just did today, you know, with this orchestral thing. I mean, there's just endless talent and will to succeed in the band. And now, you know, with working or at least talking to these other like major guys, you know, it gives me hope that, you know, eventually one day, hopefully soon, that, you know, they'll come back and be like, all right, you know, we have something for you and we could go down that road, you know, because, you know, a lot of this stuff, this day and age, there's so many bands, there's so many labels, so many booking agents, but it's like, what can they really do? And, you know, I don't want to just kind of get by. It's like, I want it all.
Yeah. Well, and the way music consumed today is definitely different than how it was consumed when I was a teenager, you know, back in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm interested to see what the music business is going to look like after this whole virus thing is over. Yeah. Because if the rumors are true and there won't be any live concerts for the next year or year and a half, you know, it's going to change the face of, you know, live music and the whole music industry.
I'm going to have to.
I think that's inevitable, but I don't know if it'll have, like, eventually, I mean, if there's one thing that's ever lasted in this world, it is music.
Yeah.
I mean, people need music. People want to go to live concerts. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to come back, and I'm sure it will be fine. But yeah, I mean, the next year, I think is going to separate the men from the boys, you know? So I don't know. I'm not saying it's like a blessing in disguise for us, but I think that there's an opportunity for people and bands like us to, you know, if you want it, you're going to figure it out. Right. You're going to figure it out now. Because if you could come out on top a year from now, you know, then I think sky's the limit, because everybody's going to want to come back and everybody's going to want to be doing, going to shows, and bands are going to be wanting to play. But it's, you know, what you do now.
Well, I'm wondering if there's going to be a missed opportunity here. I mean, these big companies like Live Nation and everything that put on these concerts, you know, I think that, you know, they're really seeing a huge loss throughout all this. And this is a real opportunity for the musicians to kind of take back the power. Like,
I agree. I completely agree. I mean, I think it's always going to be a mutual partnership between the big companies like that and bands, whether they're big or small. You know, you always need one another. But I do think that, you know, there is an opportunity for artists to to kind of rethink their approach at certain things and the way that they get music out and all this stuff, you know. I mean, luckily there is an internet, you know.
Yeah.
So I think the smart ones will survive.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think people are so kind of nervous about having to spend time in the quiet. And I really think quiet isn't an slowing down and, like, you know, being able to spend time alone and in quiet to be creative isn't necessarily a negative thing. And
Absolutely not.
Instead of freaking out about it, people should be taking advantage this, you know. And like you said, some people will and some people won't.
Yeah, no. And funny enough, like I thought about it the same way when this all hit. I bugged out for a day. And then I was like, you know, where there's will, there's a way. You know, I have to get through this. And now I find myself diving even harder into it and being more productive. But not only being more productive, but now that I have time to, like, okay, you're only going, which is pretty much every day, going from your house to the studio that's not even a mile away, and that's it, you know, and you only have that day to figure out what you're going to do. I've been more productive, and I think the ideas and focus has been better, you know. I don't know. I think that we're able to create more interesting stuff, you know, because it's almost a necessity now.
Yeah.
To, you know, being quiet is not an option, especially if you're an up and coming band. So.
Exactly. I always wonder, you know, you being a guitarist and everything. What do you think about bands that are out there doing, like, playthrough videos and of tracks, or just showing some of their licks, or, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all cool. You know, I think that for people that aren't in bands and just, like, average music listeners who want, like, a little bit more, you know, personal experience with the band, I think it's great to do stuff like that. Unfortunately, you know, I would do that stuff, but our songs aren't very hard to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would just be like, hey, hold this chord and then hold this chord and you're pretty much done.
Right.
But
it's just a new way of doing things, because, you know, guitar magazines have always put on, you know, the music into their magazines, and you could always play them that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just to cover a song, cover a difficult song.
Just a new avenue.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
A classical song or a Disney song, just, you know, playing it on guitar or something, you know.
Yeah.
I always like to know, it is kind of a equipment geek question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you prefer? Are you a Fender guy? Do you have a preference? Does it, you know?
I mean, no. I mean, I really only care about body styles. Like, I have an ESP that's, like, it has that, like, kind of Les Paul body.
Okay.
I have an actual Les Paul that I just got.
Nice.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not really that much of a gear nerd, as long as it sounds good. I know more than, like, the metal, like, they're like Evertune this and fucking Axe FX that. And I'm just like, okay, well, you know, for 60 years, people have been playing out of tube amps and it's been going fine. So,
right.
You know, I'm not going to drop $2,000 on a fucking digital thing. It's like, you know, and I mean, yeah, they sound great, but it's like, I mean, give me my fucking tube amp, give me a guitar, and let me just fucking rock.
Right.
Same shit. You know?
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, that is crazy to me.
If you're having trouble with a song, do you try a different guitar to see if there's a different sound that it, you know, you can make with it? I know different.
Yeah,
different,
I do.
Yeah, I was going to say different styles of guitars have different sounds.
Yeah, yeah, because a Stratocaster sounds different than a Les Paul.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I do that. You know, obviously the Gibson sounds way different than an ESP and then to Ibanez, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously with the acoustics, I just got a Taylor or a Martin acoustic, and I got a Epiphone acoustic. So, I got a Martin 12 string, which is actually probably my favorite guitar that I own. But
nice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm glad to just actually have equipment to do shit like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because guitars are not...
Well, equipment in general is not cheap.
Equipment in general is expensive, but shit, guitars
are... No, I know. The other day I woke up and I was like, I really want a 7-string Les Paul. And obviously, I don't think they make them, or they do, but I didn't like the one that they had. I forget what the situation was. And I was looking at it, I was like, oh, my God, that guitar is so nice. And I bought it, and I shouldn't have... You know, it's like we're in quarantine trying to save our money, and I'm spending $1,200 on a guitar.
Right.
So how many guitars do you have then?
I probably got like 10 guitars in total. I also, our studio is owned by, he's actually my dad's friend, but when you walk in there, it's like a mini guitar center. So that's half the reason I don't own as many guitars as I probably want to, because you walk into this place and there's literally like at least 100 guitars.
Wow.
Where you're like, okay, if something's like, if you need like a Fender or you need just some odd guitar, it's down there.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
Did you say what your favorite guitar to play is though? What's your go-to?
I love the Les Paul.
Les Paul is beautiful.
I just got this one that looked kind of like, it's got this worn, like rustic look to it. Nice. And almost like it looks like there's like snake skin on it. I've never seen one like that. And I was on tour and I saw it in Guitar Center. I was like, oh fuck, I need this guitar. But I wasn't ready to spend $1,000 on it. And then, I was recording this band and this kid worked at Guitar Center and I was like, yo, what can you get this for me? And I think it was like, he said he could get it for less than $600. I was like, I'm just going to do it.
Oh yeah. Shoot. I would have too. I would have done it too. So it's kind of like what I know you guys were scheduled to be on the OK Psychopath tour. And obviously, you know, the virus kind of put a kibosh on that. Obviously, you guys are going to continue to do what you're doing now and cross your fingers and hope
for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're in a little bit different than a lot of other bands because I own a beautiful studio.
Yes.
You know, I make decent money. My brother owns his own painting company.
Oh, okay.
So he makes good money. And what we found, you know, is that we're trying to play the smart long game. Mm-hmm. And we find it's almost better if we don't tour, you know, because you kind of, not only do you keep like this sort of like mystique of like, you know, we want to see this band, but they haven't come around, but also we're able to save a lot of money and then spend a lot of money in the right places. And we just have all this time and all this equipment and creativity. And it's, you know, we find ourselves being, it's more beneficial to stay home, write, make money, you know, record the videos, you know, and do all this stuff, spend it on ads and all that, whatever. But we do take some tours, you know, if we go out for a couple weeks here or there, we wanted to do that OK Psychopath tour just because it was, you know, a chance to and not only get out there for a couple weeks, but, you know, brush off the cobwebs. It's always good to do like smaller little runs like that. But yeah, now we're gearing up, like we're just trying to be a little bit more precise in what we do and be a little bit more relentless. So hopefully once this is all over, you know, we're going to have some good content, you know, able to gain a little bit more traction and hopefully land something good on all fronts, whether it's management, teams, tours, whatever. You know? Yeah.
Are you, when you guys do have gone out or, you know, when you toured with Emir and stuff, have you always considered yourself fairly approachable by people that are fans and stuff like that?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because like, even when I get that Emir question, like I still get people coming up to me saying, oh, well, you know, I used to love Emir and and that, you know, people who would, one of these guys told me that, you know, to get through the Iraqi war, he was playing fucking our first record in the tank with his buddies.
Damn.
You know, when we left, I don't want to talk shit about the other guys, you know, all these other bands, like I came up with, you know, all these like bigger bands. I won't mention names now, but they're always like, you and your brother were always the dudes that we liked in the band, and now we don't really care. So I mean, I hope I am, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say I look like an asshole, but
no. I mean, it's okay to have resting bitch face. I mean, people have looked at me and probably thought the same thing about me. Shit, I don't care.
But, I live with her and I think that every day. I was kidding. Just kidding. So what do you miss most about touring though? Because I know there's a lot of bad parts about touring, obviously being in the bus gas station food.
Lack of shower.
What do I miss about touring? I think more, well, now it's different because before I missed touring because it was free booze, free drugs, girls, and you know, a group of fucking just awesome dudes partying every night.
Yeah, party.
Yeah.
You know, but when I was, I remember going through Europe and I was so fucking hungover. The bus driver, he called out and was like, oh, we're at Stonehenge. And I lifted my head up, looked at Stonehenge. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, oh, fuck. That's really Stonehenge. And I just laid back down and I could not get up because I was just so hungover. So now I miss it just because I miss taking in sights and, you know, getting to experience more than Connecticut.
So living in the moment, but not in the way that you did last time.
That'll be nice if you, when you guys do, you'll be able to kind of have a little bit of a do-over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And kind of do it differently and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely tough. I mean, not a lot of people have lightning strike twice.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're fucking giving it hell and hoping for the best.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed and hoping that you guys get struck by lightning twice. Not literally, figuratively, because, you know, generally people that get struck by lightning, that's not a pleasant experience, I've heard.
I wanted to get into a little bit. We were listening to some of your past interviews and you talked about how you're not a fan of music today.
Yeah.
Is it just the repetitiveness of it or the fact that everybody sounds lack of substance?
Yeah. I'm a rock and roll guy, although I do love all music. But when you look at everything up until, like, you know, whether it's 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even the early 2000s, it was all like the Beatles, Elvis, Aerosmith, Motley Crue, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Korn, Deftones, Slipknot. You have all these revolutionary bands. And then at some point, that all stopped.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing. I mean, yeah, there's a couple cool bands. You know, I think you hate on them if you want, but Nickelback is a phenomenal band and there's a reason why they're that big, you know, so you should, instead of hating on them as a musician, at least you should be like, why are they so big? What did they do? You know, cause they are, if you sit down and listen to a Nickelback record, the writing is out of this world good. Some of the fucking mainstream radio hits, yeah, they're a little cheesy, but dive in, they're really good. So there are some bands. I mean, even like Five Finger Death Punch, Shine Down. I think Nothing More is a great band.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, there's no bands that are really just being bands. And that's something that, like, my brother, going back to him, we butt heads on because he's like, and this is what I feel, is that all these bands go, well, what... we love Slipknot. I want to be in a heavy band. I love, you know, whatever the fuck. Whitechapel. I want to do blast beats or Suicide Silence. Everybody looks out and goes, oh, I like that. And that's what I want to do. Rather than just picking up your guitar, playing what you feel, you know, you don't have to be angry. You don't have to be happy. You just play what is true. And that, my brother's always like, well, you know, look at what these other bands are doing. Or, you know, why don't you listen to music? And I'm like, I want to listen to myself. I want to bet on myself. I want to write music that I want to write. I don't care if it's heavy, classical. I just want to do what I do and bet on myself that people are going to gravitate to me being pure, you know, whether it's gimmicks. I mean, obviously Kiss was a big gimmick band, but still, you know, they did it in a way that was true. I mean, true to themselves. I don't know their story, but you know, now it's just like everything sounds the same. All the hooks sound the same. And you know, now there's this new fad of like, oh, well, we want to be heavy, but we want to be mainstream as well. So you have these bands like, I don't know, fucking Slaves, for instance. It's like all this gent shit, like crazy stuff. Now, granted, they're talented as fuck, but it's like, you know, now you have these pop vocals over this and that. It's just, it's like so fucking confusing. And everybody, then you get these smaller bands like Slaves, and then people are like, oh, well, that's cool. You know, they're heavy, but they're poppy and, you know, it works. I'm not hating on Slaves. You know, I'm actually friends with Johnny Craig, even though he's not a fan anymore. But then you have these other bands trying to do something that a smaller band did, thinking that they're going to have some sort of success with it. When you look at that band, it's like, they didn't even really have success. They play in front of 300 people a night. Yeah. What's your goal here? Right. You know? Yeah. So when I listen to music, there's nothing that I will listen to that isn't absolutely iconic. If I'm, you know, driving down the street, I'm listening to I'm listening to Beethoven, Mozart, Aerosmith, Stone Temple Pilots, Motley Crue, Korn, you know, just stuff that it was pure for that time. And then I just take that and I just do what I want to do. And I'm hoping that if I could be a true musician and a true writer, that no matter what it sounds like, you could say it sounds like Korn, you could say it sounds like this, but at the end of the day, I'm doing what I want to be doing. And I'm hoping that that will transfer over and lead to a little bit more success than just playing in front of 100 kids a night. Right.
Yeah, I believe it. Well, I really do.
There are a lot of good bands out there, but yeah. you're trying to be the band that's great. The one that sticks exactly. out that yeah. has that little extra spark.
Yeah.
I want it all. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
It's a tall order to fill, but I mean, if I'm not going for the gold, then what the fuck am I even doing racing?
Right, exactly.
Well, there needs to be a new breakout. There needs to be something that's different that, you know, really catches. Yeah, we just haven't seen that in at least a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, you know, after this, you know, there is going to be a hole, you know, there's going to be a hole for bands and musicians and all this, just the industry in general. And, you know, you're right. And that's what everybody keeps talking about. And it's funny that, you know, this rock and roll thing really started coming back lately, you know, bands like Greta Van Fleet, Dirty Honey, all this stuff. Now, I remember myself probably about 3-4 years ago sitting in a driveway with our singer Jesse, and we were getting drunk on some beers and whiskey or whatever, and we put on Aerosmith and we were like, dude, we just need to bring back rock and roll. And now all of a sudden we're here, and that's why I'm like, there's some wavelength that I feel like I'm tapped into where I see the pathway.
Yeah.
It's just hard to kind of clear the shrubs and get to that, you know. So you know, as good as I think that the material that we have out is, you know, I still think that there's just, you know, the stuff that we're writing now or the ideas that we have or where the band is headed, like, there's not a lot out that I think is able to really kind of put Lakeshore in a box yet. There's just nothing out there that I'm truly, truly not stoked on, but like, I just want to get the new stuff out and just finally, you know, get these new wheels turning. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, when the dust does settle with all this world stuff, that, you know, maybe we can, you know, shed the light, you know, on what the band is really all about, because there is a lot of talent in here, and we're all fucking crazy, but you know, we all do work hard. Do music does heal, and it's done me, you know, that's kind of what my purpose is. So
yeah, well, you know, hoping. I am
sorry,
I will...
for the rant,
no,
by the way.
No,
we love the rants.
Not at all. You know,
we live for the rants.
We live for the rants, Ben, because
makes for good conversation.
Well, and that's what it's all about. We're having a conversation with you because we care about, you know, Lakeshore. We care about your story, and we don't want it to be like, so how did you guys come up with the name? And let's sit here and talk about your old band for 10 minutes. And, you know, we don't do that bullshit. We don't run our show podcast that way. Yeah. So
no, just, sometimes, you know, I'm like overly passionate about like certain topics and things, and it's just like, you guys don't know yet. I'm crazy.
I'm an Aries, so it was funny you said you asked, you know, that you said you're into science, because I'm an Aries, and I'm telling you what, like, we are passionate and opinionated as hell. So
yeah,
you know.
So we'll get along.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there does seem to be a little bit of resurgence of the rock and roll, you know, the Greta Van Fleet and the Dirty Honey and all that. But at the same time, it still only feels like a regurgitation of something that's already happened. It still doesn't it still doesn't have that spark. It doesn't have that new feel.
Yeah, you know, I honestly attribute that to the higher ups and the suits, because, you know, I think that
everybody feels the rock and roll coming. Mm-hmm. And once there's a couple good bands like Dirty Honey and Greta Van Fleet, then all these like older guys who don't really understand what's happening.
Yeah, they go, don't.
Oh, well, the rock and roll's coming back. So we got to put out this regurgitated barf of fucking new bands. And it's just like, yeah, that's cool and all, but we already heard it with Led Zeppelin and Guns N' Roses.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's done.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to what's really happening is bands like, you know, Bad Wolves. Mm-hmm. I'll even throw our name in the mix. You know, bands that are that know that rock and roll is coming back and applying these rock and roll attributes to their music, but doing it in a more modern way that is going to be accessible to keep the not only the fans interested, but actually, you know, keep that, you know, kind of not let rock and roll die. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I think that stuff is just a fad. And, you know, I'm glad that Bad Wolves is kind of where they're at right now and had so much success because, you know, it's good. It's good for rock and roll to have those bands. And it kind of, even though like Tommy Vext.
I love Tommy Vext.
He was in Amir's first video. Chris Kane, their guitar player, I've known for fucking years
when he
was in this band called Elysia. We used to tour with them and play shows with them. Doc Coyle, I've known forever. He was in that band called God Forbid. Even though like we're kind of like in the same realm of our past and our history, you know, it's good that they, you know, they're paving the way for, you know, younger bands like us, you know, because I think it's kind of making it okay to, you know, have a little edge to your music. But, you know, they're doing it in a really cool way. So I'm really proud of those guys.
What I think it's funny is I listen to Doc's podcast and he had made mention about, you know, all these people come out and they know our radio hit. They know Zombie and they know a couple other ones.
Yeah.
He's like, once we start getting into the actual album, you see all their eyes light up like, what the hell is going on?
I have both. I
love their stuff.
I love Bad Wolves.
I do too. I think that when you blow up off of a cover, that's a blessing and a curse all at once.
Yeah,
that's
true.
And you know, if you really don't step outside yourself and understand what's happening with your band, then you're doomed. You know, luckily they do have good songs, and I think that they're very hardworking people. And obviously Tommy Vext knows everybody, but look at a band like Alien Ant Farm. They fucking crashed, you know?
Yeah.
They didn't realize what was going on.
Well, the other side is I know that they actually enjoy playing the song, so...
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're great to see live.
And, you know, they've made very clear that they're not happy about the way that they became famous. I mean, it really was because that she passed away. But they were, you know, I don't even know where I was going to go with that. I'm going to leave it there.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Tommy Vext has been around. He was in Snot, which I love Snot. And
Divine Heresy. Westfield Massacre. He's a bunch of bands.
They did him wrong.
Well, that's what a lot of the new bands don't understand either is you got to pay your dues.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to, honestly, Greta Van Fleet, it was a perfect example where that was their first band. They just happened to hit the lotto numbers. And
you don't want to rise too fast though, because it's like bread. If it rises too fast, then it's shit and you got to throw it away.
Like when that stuff happens, it's like it's literally like a rocket taking off, and you need to be like the pilot of that and just understand what your instruments are telling you. And like, you know, you need to be very, very aware when you have success and you know why are you successful and how is it happening, you know. And some bands, you know, like Greta Van Fleet, dude, they were huge. Mm-hmm. They're not that big anymore. I mean, granted, they're still going to get the stuff, but you know, until they follow it up with, okay, this band is serious, I mean, you're still only going to be Greta Van Fleet. That kind of sounds like Led Zeppelin and had that one good song.
I'd say part of their downfall was that the singer basically said, we're not Led Zeppelin. We're not trying to be Led Zeppelin. It's like, well, you got to admit that you sound like Led Zeppelin.
Well,
No, they're kind of like jokey, and I feel bad because I know. I mean, I don't know what it's like to go from like nothing to that status of like you're literally everywhere. But I mean, with Amir, it was like I was telling you, it was almost the same. I mean, on a smaller level, but I mean, you know, going from playing in front of nobody to touring around the world, selling out, you know, 2,000 cap clubs from here to freaking Russia, it's crazy.
Intense.
It's
yeah.
crazy, and if you get lost in it, you know, it's fucking scary.
Exactly.
That's why I don't know. That's why I feel fortunate now that I have this do-over.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad for you. I absolutely dig it. I can't wait till Corona like dissipates and we're able to get back to the music. And because when you guys come to town, I'm going to be all over that shit. Like,
where are you guys located? Right.
We're in Michigan. We're
just north of Detroit.
Yeah. We're at 45 minutes out of the D.
But our favorite venue is Machine Shop in Flint. Yeah.
Well, I like venues in Detroit too. Thinking you guys had to have.
I think we played there on the last tour with Tense Machine. I could be completely wrong.
I was looking at your past events. I don't know if I saw it on there. So.
Well, I could be wrong.
I could be wrong too. I don't know. So where is the best place for everybody to go if they want to learn more about Lakeshore and get your single and
buy merch, because merch is very important.
All the standard ones, Spotify, everything's up. Facebook, there are a couple other bands called Lakeshore that are obviously not active anymore. So we have the blue check mark. Thank God. So, just search Lakeshore and you'll find us.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure, man. And I hope you had a good time.
Thanks so much. I did. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. All right, man. Well, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And
you too.
Yeah. Hopefully we will. We'll keep our eye out and watch you guys grow. And hopefully we will see you on the road at some point.
Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah, you too.
Don't work too hard and, keep your hands clean.
Yeah, be
impossible.
Safe.
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys.
Yep, bye.
Take it easy.
Hopefully,
it's funny. I've actually been Facebook friends with you for a little while, and I don't know how that happened.
Not really?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Jim Peel.
Jim Peel. It sounds kind of familiar, but we might have been rando ads.
Yeah.
I went through this ad spree of like adding all these people and just trying to like funnel them to the band. And, some people would message me because of the Amir thing. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like some people are responding. So I just went on and filled up like three Facebooks full of friends. And
yeah, it was funny. So she was like, we're interviewing Ben from Lakeshore. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm friends with Ben Lyon on Facebook. Well, we'll definitely...